Well, g'day everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of The Journey. It's a show that's all about faith, hope, love and life. And it's one that we put together for you this week for the fifth Sunday of Easter and for the fifth week of Easter too. This Easter season being a period of extended joy to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Got some great preaching coming up for you shortly on the reading set down for this Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Easter. But some other great material that we've got right throughout the show too. You're going to be hearing from Trish McCarthy. We've got a wonderful testimony from Luke Vale. He's one of the national evangelisation team members in Australia this year. He's come all the way from Canada. It's his second year here in Australia. He's going to talk about his journey into faith in Jesus Christ and how now he shares that really fervently with students and young adults as a net missionary. Awesome to have Michelle Vass. Michelle is a spiritual director, runs the Douglas Park Retreat Centre, sort of smack bang in between Sydney and the Southern Highlands. She's got a great message for us today about Christ being risen from the dead. Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love, great to have the MGLs with us. We've got some MGL brothers, we've got some MGL sisters, we've got some MGL priests. Mother Hilda Scott, of course, is with us. But to kick us off, as is always the case, we break open scripture. It's from John 15, 1-8. I'm the vine, you are the branches, is the gospel reading that we've got for today. And then we're going to have that broken open for us from the perspective of Father Mark DiBattista. He's going to talk to us about pruning for growth. And we're really, really grateful to Southern Cross 10, the Australian Catholic Bishops Conference, for making this particular gospel reflection available for us. It's filmed in the same place as we produce this show in the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong. We're really grateful to those guys for making these gospel reflections available to us, and it's actually appearing weekly on Mass for You at Home in various iterations and various channels, but courtesy of Southern Cross 10. Let's get into that now. All the wonderful music you've grown used to on the journey as well. Lots and lots to get through on the show, as you can hear. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So please, you join us this week on the journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he cuts away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes to make it bear even more. You are pruned already by means of the word that I have spoken to you. Make your home in me as I make mine in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit all by itself, but must remain part of the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, with me in him, bears fruit in plenty. For cut off from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is like a branch that has been thrown away. He withers. These branches are collected and thrown on the fire, and they are burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask what you will, and you shall get it. It is to the glory of my Father that you should bear much fruit. And then you will be my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord. And now, the Gospel Reflection with Father Mark DiBattista.
Our Lord so often uses images that are so directly understood by his listeners. This time he uses that of the vine and the vine dresser. Again, most of the people in his time would have either had a vine or two in their backyard, or perhaps worked for someone who had a lot more. I don't have a green thumb, but those who do tell me that when you're pruning, you've got to be careful as you prune to make sure that it's a clean cut. And that in fact, the growth that happens after a pruning, in fact, is a direct survival attempt on behalf of the plant to just live. It feels like it's an attack on it, and then all the extra nutrients are sent into that part of the plant to make it grow. Now, our Lord uses this image, and the people listening to him would have understood this very, very well. That if, for instance, the pruning doesn't get done properly, what can happen? Disease can set in, and the plant can develop a fungus and then possibly die, or at least part of it. But when Jesus talks about the pruning that goes on, for those who bear fruit, well, the image itself hurts. When we think about ourselves being pruned by God, being pruned by the Heavenly Father, by His Word, by the manifold ways in which He prunes us, we think, maybe sometimes I enjoy the idea of pruning, but the thought that I'm going to be hurt in order to bear more fruit doesn't particularly appeal to me, and I don't know about you. But that's in fact what's necessary in order for us to keep on growing in our discipleship in Christ. That's why Jesus Christ in fact says about His teaching on the cross that we must carry the cross every day. And in particular, during these 50 days of Easter season, we are looking at the mystery of the cross that has led to the resurrection. A mystery, but we see it repeated in our lives time and time again. Our Lord also talks about the possibility of not bearing fruit. What happens to such a branch? The one who does not remain in Him, they dry up and then they are cut off and thrown into the fire. Not something any of us really wants to consider. But we should ask ourselves the question, what does it mean, therefore, to remain in Jesus Christ? Well, it's the things we already know, to engage in prayer, to reflect upon His Word, to allow His Word to speak to us, not just to wash over our minds, but to in fact percolate into our hearts so that it can convict us of truth and falsehood that is there within us. When the Word finds truth inside of us, then it brings peace and consolation. When it finds falsehood, it makes us uncomfortable. We live in a culture that is very much about wearing masks, very much about keeping up a good appearance. But in fact, with God, that means nothing because He sees right through it all. So as we listen to these familiar words of Christ, we remember that we, in order to be great disciples, we must be close to Him and remain united with Him.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
To conquer every sting of death.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
I had to clean a room, an empty room, at the Abbey a couple of months ago. The room is at one end of the building, and since it was work time, no one was around, and the rest of the nuns were all working at the extreme other end of the building. I had the place to myself. This being the case, I used the opportunity to sing my favourite hymn. I was amazed, to tell you the truth, because even to my sometimes tone-deaf ear, my voice in the empty room really sounded all right. It echoed and resonated magnificently. And encouraged by the sound of my own voice, I launched into more than one of my favourites. It was a very happy time, and I was sorry when the floor was finished. It occurred to me, you know, that sometimes you and I are afraid of our emptiness. We bemoan our loneliness, our various incapacities, our inability to rise to the various challenges that come our way, especially those challenges of the heart. We're often ashamed of our apparent emptiness. We wish we had more to give. We are sure that if we were truly together people, we would be full of all manner of good things. We would always know which way to go, and God would know that we have made some progress in life. Yet the truth is, our emptiness makes the voice of our pain and lostness even more beautiful and welcoming to the heart of God. It makes for a song like no other. In our emptiness, God can truly hear what it is that's troubling us. He can truly hear the hidden nuances of our diffidence and shame. And our song in our emptiness is beautiful. Are you feeling empty as you listen to this? Then come with me. Close your eyes, see yourself in an empty room, and tell God why you feel so empty. It will be a song God will long remember. Then leave it to Him to answer you at the right time. Our emptiness is a blessing, not a curse.
Thank you so much to Mother Hilda Scott there. Had a little piece this week that she called for us, The Empty Room, and a realisation at a point in time of our own emptiness and loneliness and our lack of capacity and how God can make us more beautiful and draw us into His own heart. Thanks very much to Mother Hilda Scott there. Coming up after the break, we're going to hear from Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. He's going to talk about rising above our brokenness and following the ways of God instead. He's got a great analogy with how ludicrous it would be to follow a broken compass. You're going to love it. First up, though, here's Phil Wickham and the song This Is Amazing Grace. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you joined us this week on The Journey.
Stronger.
together on the journey. Faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness. Here are the missionaries of God's love with The Call.
No one would wander into a forest knowing that they were following a broken compass. If you knew that your life depended on the direction of the tool in your hands, you would want some assurance that it is pointing you in the right direction. To willingly follow a compass that was broken would be absolute madness. Yet we do this every day in our decision making. Every day we make decisions based either on sound reason or gut feeling. Yet we rarely take the time to reflect on whether our reason or gut is actually pointing in the right direction. The disturbing reality is that if you are human, it probably isn't. Every human being has experienced pain. We are all broken, whether we are conscious of it or not. If I am broken, then this means that my internal compass is also broken. My sound reason is being heavily influenced by things from my past that I might not even be consciously aware of. This is where we need to reset our bearings every day with the scriptures and the wisdom of those holy Christians who have gone before us. We need to trust the guidance of well-trained spiritual directors who can see the things in our decision-making that we are blind to. If we always refer ourselves back to the truth, then we can rise above our brokenness and see reality clearly. I'm Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. Find out more about us at mglpriestsandbrothers.org.
What a great input there from Father Dave Callahan. He's from the Missionaries of God's Love. They're a group of priests, nuns, brothers, living a consecrated life, living lives of prayer, and dedicated very much so to bringing the gospel fervently, vibrantly into our broken world, particularly presenting it in vibrant, joyful ways to young people. Father Dave this week spoke about how it would be crazy to follow a broken compass. Yet we do it every day sometimes in our decision-making, relying on our own reason and gut feelings without knowing if it's pointing in the right direction. And therefore, he points to us making sure that we're falling in line with and looking to see clearly through the perspective of God, who is whole, who is truth, who is anything but broken. Thanks so much there to Father Dave Callahan. Coming up now is Father Rob Galea. He's in high demand right around Australia. He hails out of Victoria. He's in demand right around the world as a great singer-songwriter. He was on The Voice a few years ago, shot to fame then. He's got a bag full of talent, that's for sure, when it comes to music and preaching. And he's just a great guy. Speaking at youth events all over the place, here's his song, 3 AM, after the break. We're going to be hearing from one of our new contributors to the show, but she's far from inexperienced. In fact, she is a spiritual director and runs a retreat centre at Douglas Park. This week she's going to speak to us about knowing that Jesus is risen. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you're on the journey.
It's 3 AM, and I've been dragging my feet again. The material I'm made of is wearing thin, and lately I can comprehend it. In the darkest night, wondering if it's ever been worth the fight. They told me so clearly it was black and white, but I'm still searching for the light. And the tears, they start to fall down, and I can finally see it all now. All the lights on the fancy cars, I watch them all just fade away. When I look into your face, all the fortunes of the earth, all illusions of grandeur, suddenly seem so commonplace. When I look into your face, oh. When all has been said and done, even when I feel like the only one, the struggles only make me strong. And the tears, they start to fall. And I can finally see it all. I watch them all just fade away. When I look into your face, all the fortunes of the end, all the illusions of grandeur suddenly seem so commonplace.
Faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey.
Now, with Spirituality of the Heart, here's Michelle Vass.
Twice in chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel, we hear that Jesus is risen. First, two angels at the tomb tell the women, "He is risen." Later, the 11, who have been told of the women's experience and checked the tomb, confirm for the two disciples from Emmaus, "Yes, it is true. The Lord is risen." Our Orthodox brothers and sisters have a customary greeting for Easter. "Christ is risen," one says, and the other responds, "Indeed, he is risen." It's a lovely ritual, but how do we know Jesus is risen? Can we see it in our world, in each other? I heard this prayer recently, passed on from a friend of a friend. It's called Mafalda's Prayer, and I think it's actually a good checklist for the risenness in our lives. It begins like this: "Every time a person is respected and heard, Christ is risen. Every time a person is accepted for who they are, Christ is risen. Every time a person is treated with dignity and the awareness that all of us are equal, Christ is risen. Every time a child is nourished and fed and feels love and affection, Christ is risen. Every time a person finds the strength to overcome addiction and search for real meaning, Christ is risen. Every time a person can laugh at their own inadequacies and failings and still keep on trying, Christ is risen. This story has no end, for Christ is risen in our midst. Where there is hope, healing, compassion, care for the earth, comfort, laughter, an open ear, a friendly word or a gentle touch, an open mind, Christ is risen. He is not dead." So, how did you fare? Have you seen resurrection happen when you give others respect and acceptance? Have you known resurrection in your own life when you humbly receive hope and compassion? I'm sure that most of us do our best to live the good news. But perhaps the message for us this Easter is to explicitly see these little everyday resurrections as Jesus rising again in each and every one of us. Then, with St. Paul, we too can say, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Alleluia. I'm Michelle Vass, Director of St. Mary's Towers Retreat Centre, Douglas Park. Find out more about us at towersretreat.org.au.
Give me your heart, give me your song, sing it with all your might. Come to the fountain and you can be satisfied. There is a peace, there is a love, you can get lost inside. Come to the fountain and let me hear you testify. Into the wild canyons of you, oh, there's a world to fall into. Weightless will dance like kids on the moon. Oh, I will give myself to you as soon as you start to let go.
That was Need to Breathe, the song Testify. Before that, great to hear from Michelle Vass. She had a piece called Jesus is Risen, and how we can see it in our world. We can see it in each other, the little everyday resurrections as Jesus is rising again in you and in me. Right, coming up now, you're going to have some great stuff thrown at you from a young man. His name's Luke Vale. He hails from Canada, Prince Edward Island, in fact, and he's going to give his testimony. He's going to describe the impact of a weekend retreat on his life, that changed the direction of his life, introduced him to prayer and a relationship with Jesus, and how now he can't do anything but share that with students and young adults. And he does so at the moment as a member of the National Evangelization Team, a missionary who's going into schools and connecting very strongly with young adults right around Australia, and specifically this year in our diocese in Wollongong. Let's hear from Luke. After that, we're getting some music from Newsboys. What a friend we have in Jesus. With Trish McCarthy coming up after the break. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. You're about to hear from Luke Vale in his testimony, and you are on the journey.
Hi, my name's Luke Vale. I'm 19 years old. I come from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, Canada. And this is the story of how I've come to my faith. So I grew up in a large Catholic family. I really grew up just following my older brother and sister. I pretty much just did everything they would do. If they would go to church, I would go to church. If they went to youth group, I went to youth group. And, you know, I even had the same friend group as them and even like the same first job as them. I really didn't know how to make my own decisions as a kid. I knew eventually that was something that would have to change in my life, but when I was younger, it was just easy for me to, you know, just kind of did whatever they did. When following them, I didn't feel fulfilled. But I remember at the age of 15, I went to this Catholic youth retreat. I just went to have some fun with some of my friends, but I was caught off guard by a man giving a talk. When the guy was giving the talk, it was really interesting. He hit some points where he didn't feel like he was living a fulfilled life. He didn't feel fulfilled at all. Even at an older age, he didn't feel like he had lived his life to the full until he had started living his life for Jesus. He had kind of explained how he started living his life for Jesus by, you know, just starting to pray, starting to go to Mass, and it just changed his life for the better. He had found this missing piece in his life, and the way he had described it, it seemed like exactly what I was missing in my own life. So I remember after that talk, we went into a time of prayer and I felt really encouraged. I felt like I wanted exactly what that man had. So during that time of prayer, I knelt down and I closed my eyes and I opened my hands. And I just remember saying, "Jesus, I want you." And at that moment, I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't see anything. But I just remember knowing that Jesus was there before me and that he said, "Luke, I love you and I want you to come and follow me." So after that, that's exactly what I did. I went and followed Jesus. I wanted to follow him in everything I could do. But obviously, after that moment, my life wasn't perfect. I still had to keep striving, still had to keep trying to pray. There was ups and downs. It was almost like two steps forward, one step back, but at least I kept moving forward. And although it's been tough, although it hasn't been perfect, my relationship with Jesus has led me to do some amazing things, even like coming here to work with NET to share my faith with students and young adults and just many people. So I'm really glad I made that choice to let Jesus become a bigger part of my life. And if I would encourage you to do anything, I would encourage you to also make that step, if you haven't already, to let Jesus become a bigger part of your life.
Hi, this is Mandy from Diamond Creek, Victoria, and you're listening to The Journey.
Everything
so faithful. Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness. And now it's time for Milk and Honey with Trish McCarthy.
Each day, I have the absolute privilege of being able to drive to or from work along our spectacular coastal drive, including the Seacliff Bridge. One morning, though, I noticed a pattern in my thoughts, of which I wanted to address. When I looked to the left, I noticed the growing number of houses and developments that are taking place. The beautiful houses with stunning decks and majestic views. My mind began to wander. Imagine owning one of these, the life it could offer different from my own. I realised that it's quite different to where I am at the moment, and something I could only aspire to. I noticed I started to focus on all the things I didn't have, and my energy started to slump and depress as I looked to the left. On the contrary, as I looked to the right, my eyes feast on God's delights. One of the most breathtaking and unadulterated coastlines our country has to offer. Whales at certain times of the year, dolphins on clear days, surfers making most of the moment. Sunrise or sunset with colours that stir the soul. A full moon gently rising or morning sun bursting forth from the broken clouds. I notice my energy lifted and I feel connected to my Creator, energised to give and include others, ready for the day's work ahead and smiling at the little things. The richest person on the planet. Please don't misunderstand me. To have dreams and aspirations that seem unattainable, a comfortable place to live and a good income are in fact good and important things. But the focus of this message is, well, I guess precisely that, focus. We need to be aware of what it is that we're focusing on and what it stimulates in our heart and mind and body. Do we notice the trail of our thoughts spiralling downwards and focusing on the things we don't have? Or gaining momentum in an upward direction, giving life and energy. Sometimes it's as simple as, figuratively speaking, shifting our focus from the left, that depresses, to the right, which brings delight, and being very aware of where our thoughts are leading us. This week, choose life, choose love.
Shoes upon my feet to share with you the last bite of bread I had to eat, and I would swim out to save you in your sea of broken dreams when all your hopes are sinking. Let me show you what love means. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. And don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? Every heart could understand that love and only love can join the tribes of men. And I would give my heart's desire so that you might see the first step is to realize that it all begins with you and me. Love can build a bridge don't you think it's time?
Thank you so much to Trish McCarthy, our last contributor in part five of the show. She spoke about driving up the Illawarra Coast Road, a trip I've done many a time. In fact, I live not too far from that Seacliff Bridge, which many, many people will have been over. It's pretty iconic. It's in lots and lots of car ads. Trish made the point about God's majesty just surrounding her on one particular occasion and the impact that it had upon her life and her day at the time. Got to look for God's majesty and his awesomeness all around us, all the time. Ever present. Great music right throughout the show. Thanks to Max Norton who put it together. We just heard from Christy Knuckles and Love Can Build a Bridge. To all of our contributors, to Michelle Vass, to Luke Vale who gave his testimony, to Father Dave Callahan, Mother Hilda Scott, and great to have Father Mark DiBattista right at the top of the show too. Big cheerio to all of our partnering radio stations right around Australia. Too many to mention now. Just love partnering with all these incredible Christian radio stations. What a ministry you guys have. How many lives you're touching and how many disciples you're feeding through what you put out there each and every day. And we trust that the journey is helping to feed everyone who's listening in too. Don't forget you can go to jcr.org.au. You can connect in with us there. You can have a look at past shows. You can listen to past God Spots. All that stuff is freely available. Just go to jcr.org.au. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. We'll be doing it all again next week. And thanks for joining us this week on The Journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norton from the office of the Bishop in the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.